Many times we use Joseph, how I said, to use it and use it like a type of Christ. No doubt. That's the main reason, because Joseph is one of the Old Testament character. But he has an important role in God's plan to preserve that remnant of faithful people and to make a big nation. God works and build a big nation in Egypt, in slavery. But Joseph was a type of Christ, how I said, because Jesus, our Lord, was the beloved son of the Father. But he was hated by the wicked world where he was sent by his Father. And he lived among us for a certain time in great humility and love for this world. He came from heaven to seek and to save us. That's a great plan. But this world plot against him. His own not only receive him not, but the scripture says they crucify him. It's easy to understand that when we read the New Testament about life of Christ Jesus. But it's also, in this evening, I want to show another perspective of this character. Because it also shows a lot of Christians. He is our type. Joseph is type of each one of us. Because we must get through many tribulations to enter in heaven to enjoy by eternity with our Lord. The message of the First Peter book, it's about suffering. Peter sent a message to Christian at that time and said, first we need to suffer, and after we can glory. This is the true grace of God. Well, that doesn't sound very encouraging. But it is the reality. We are here for a while. But we are here and will suffer for our faith. Because this world not love us very much. What the Lord Jesus says in John 15, at the verse 18, he said to his apostles, if the world hates me, you know that I hated me before it hated you. What do you expect for this world? To love you? No. This world will hate you. They hate Christ. They will hate you and will hate me. When we'll try to live in this world with great humility and love for our God, this world would hate us. That happened with Paul. And he wrote in his last letter, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 10 till verse 12. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecution, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecution I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We have to expect that. And think about Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt. Joseph was humiliated in Egypt. But at the final of the story, he was exalted by Pharaoh, who made him overseer over Egypt. So what do you learn? What do you learn from the first part of Joseph's life? Well, Genesis 37, verse 2 says, this is a history of Jacob. So Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. So now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. We tend to think about Joseph was favorized by his father. Well, probably not, I said, because how the scripture says in verse 3, he was the son of his old age. The other sons of Jacob, they were grown men. So this man at 17 needs more attention. He needs more guidance. He was there. And he tried to be a faithful and obedient son. What the brothers did with him? Well, the scripture says in Genesis 37, in first part, he said, when he brought a bad report about the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, they start to hate it. And he said in a verse 4, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. But the Lord says, well, don't worry, Joseph. I will give you a dream. And I will show you what plan I have with you. And God gave him a dream in verse 5. And what was the result? His brothers started to hate me more. How ended up all the situation? Joseph was sold, and he became a slave in Egypt. He lost everything. He lost his youth. He lost his family. He lost his freedom. He lost everything. And he became slave. But one lesson that we learn from that is God always watch you. Look at the verse 2 in chapter 39. When Joseph got in Egypt and became the servant of Potiphar, the verse 2 says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And he was a successful man. In verse 21 as well, the scripture says, when he was put in a jail, the Lord was with Joseph and showed his mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. God always what was Joseph? Doesn't matter what. What we learned from this situation? Well, God will always be with you. God always watch you. He call you to come to become one of his children. And he has a plan with you. And he always will watch in you. Think about David. 1 Samuel 15, Saul, the king, was rejected by God. In the next chapter, Samuel was sent by God to Jesse to anoint the next king of Israel. And in 1 Samuel 16, in verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brother, And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. From that very moment, God was with David. Look at the chapter 18. When Saul tried to kill David, when he attempted to murder David, God was with David. Saul couldn't kill that faithful young man. In chapter 18, verses 12 to 14, it says, "Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from his presence and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people." God was with David. And Saul was afraid. Well, it happens sometimes to take everything for granted and to think that, well, why God didn't answer to my prayer? Why God didn't do something that I expected? But think about it. He will never depart you. He says, "I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you. I always be on your side." Why do you afraid? You know what it's interesting? Even Satan know that God is always near but faithful and righteous people. But sometimes we forget that. Remember when Satan, the devil, came to God in book of Job? In book of Job, in chapter 1, it said in this way. Then the Lord said, in verse 8, "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?' So Satan answered to the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear for God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hand, and his possession have increased in the land.'" Even Satan know what God does with a faithful and righteous man. That is what God did with Joseph in Egypt. That is what God did with Joseph when he was in his own house among his family that hate him, betray him, and sold him like a slave. But God was with Joseph. What says the Psalm 121? It's a short psalm. But it's so profound because the words, they are so straightforward and help us to understand who is our God. Psalm 121, it says, "We lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence come my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming from this time forth and even for more. I will never forsake you, says God to Joseph. I will show you what I'm going to do with you. Even your family, your brothers will hate you, envy you, betray you and will sold you like a slave in Egypt. Keep that in your mind. God always watch you. Another lesson that we learn from Joseph's life, it's about integrity and obedience. And integrity and obedience beat lies, because he was successful in the house of Potiphar, for sure, that Lord said. But he had to handle a very sensitive situation with the wife of Potiphar, because Satan tried to destroy the plan of God with this young man. So he tempted through that woman. And she came and asked him to lay with him, with her. But he refused. He was strong enough to say no. And look at verse 10. As she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not hit her to lie with her or to be with her. Day by day. She never quit. She never stopped to put pressure on this young man to get with her. Do you imagine this world will ever stop to put pressure on you? No. This world try to pull you up from God's kingdom, get you back in the world, to become again a slave and to be corrupt. But Joseph was strong enough to say no. Remember Job? He was the same. Job lost everything. But he was a man of faith. How the scripture says in chapter 1, the book of Job, he was a man blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. The same words they're using verse 8. And also, how we see in this scripture, verses 21 and 22. So he said, after he was struck so bad, he lost everything. He lost all his possession. And finally, he lost his children. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That means to be faithful. That means to trust God. He gave us everything what we have in this world. We have life, have a good health, we're less, but still we are here. And he take care of us every single day. He's a generous God. He gave us all what we need. Not everything what we want, but what we need. And finally, second chapter of book of Job, when his wife came to him, look at the verse 9 and 10. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Look at the question that his wife ask, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Yes. Do you still hold fast your integrity, Joseph? Absolutely. How can I sin against God? He said in chapter 39, verse 9. How can I do that? How can I do that with my God, who showed me what plans he has with me? How can I do that with Potiphar, my master? He proved how we have to love our God and how to have our neighbor. Joseph did that in a very practical way. And what is the application for us today? Look at the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 11, Proverbs 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of unfaithful will destroy them. What do you choose to do? To live in integrity and to be upright by God, or to live in corruption and we will be destroyed? That is the challenge for each of us. How to live in this world? How to look in to serve our God? What is our legacy for our kids and next generation? That's the question. In Proverbs 20, verse 7, it says in this way, "The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." If you lose our integrity, if you're looking back in this world, what's happened with our children? What happened with our grandchildren? What happened with this world? Integrity and obedience beat lies. Doesn't matter what. God proved that with Joseph. When Potiphar's wife tempted him, and he said, "No, I cannot do that. I cannot compromise myself, and I cannot compromise my God. He's too important for me." How important is God for you? How important is Christ for you? Because Hebrews chapter 4, at verse 15, it says about the Lord Jesus that was tempted, but he never sinned. Hebrews 4, verse 15, it says this way, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." He was tempted as well. Joseph was tempted. Job was tempted. But they didn't quit. They say no. And third, and last lesson that we learn from Joseph's life is God will taste you. Yes, he will taste us. And he tests Joseph. How? In Genesis 41, God gave to Joseph power. One of the big men in the history of this country, he says, "If you want to test a man's character, give him power." Abraham Lincoln. If you want to test a man, give him power, and he will prove what kind of character it is. He will prove what kind of man it is. God gave power to Joseph. In Genesis 41, beginning with verse 37. "So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, Can we find such a one as this man in whom is the Spirit of God? So then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And the Pharaoh came, and he gave to Joseph the signet ring, put him clothes, and he had him ride in a second chariot which he had. Says verse 43. That's a highly honor for Joseph. He was a slave. He was put in prison. And now God proves what kind of plans he had with him. So he became the overseer of Egypt. So what do you expect? Not be tested? Oh, yeah. We will be tested. God will test our faith. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, the three young men in captivity, slaves, the king built that big image of gold and said, if you don't worship, I will throw you in that fire and you will be consumed in a second. What Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answer to the king? Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answer and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship God, gold image, which you have set up. We'll not do it. We don't want to offend you. But that is our choice, because that is our faith. The faith, it's in our God, not in that image. So this world will tempt us, and we will be tested, and God will test our faith, and God will test our patience as well. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that it may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. God will test us. We'll test our faith, we'll test our endurance, we'll test our patience. Yes. He will do it. But our God has a plan with us. So that is the reason, because we are tested. Jeremiah 17, verse 10 says, I will test you. I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. He will test it. For sure. We're afraid of that? No, we should not. Because that is our life. Here in this world, suffering now, and glory now, after death. That is the true grace of God. Joseph, help us to understand who is our God and how we can keep us in this world upright, living a righteous life according with God's will. Joseph is one of the most interesting history in the world. We have a lot to learn from this young man. Because Joseph showed the triumph of faith. Joseph never complained. And he never compromised himself. He was loved by his father. He was hated by his brother. He was favored, but also he was abused. He was tempted, but he was trusted. And finally, he was exalted. In all his life, and he lived 110 years, Joseph never get his eyes of God or cease to trust him. That is faith. That means to suffer and to enjoy by the glory. He was the same. Joseph was the same. The scripture proves us. Adversity did not harden his character, and his prosperity did not ruin him. He was the same man in poverty and in prosperity, in freedom and in slavery. He was the same in private, and also he was the same in public. For sure, he was a great man. He deserved to be type of Christ. But remember that. He's also, it's a type of each one of us. So for this reason, let's remember these words from Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do not iniquity. They walk in his way. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. That's our life. That is what's supposed to be as the faithful followers of Christ. So if you are not in Christ, I pray that word to touch your heart, to believe and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to repent from your sins and to be baptized in his name for the forgiveness of your sin, and to live in faith, serving your Lord. Or if you are in Christ and you struggle in your faith, you can be helped. You can ask for help. We can pray for you. We can pray with you. This church, through their elders and preacher, can guide you in a way that you will be right with your God. If you happen to be in one of these two situations, come forward as we stand and sing.
There's a great day coming.